Hello and good morning, RBN listeners. This is Carolyn Yeager bringing you the Revisionist Report on Tuesday, June 21st. Yesterday, I finished discussing the Sudeten German expellees and how the government of Germany refuses to support them against the Czechs, just as it refuses to support the Silesian German expellees against the Polish government. I have said, and I say it often, that the government in place in Germany today does not represent the German people, but represents the Allied victors of World War II, especially the United States, who has occupied Germany since 1945 and is still occupying Germany. Thanks to a listener, I have discovered a very interesting website that goes by the name of German Views. It's kind of new because there are not too many, it seems to be a blog, and there's not too many blogs on there. I hope it continues because, boy, it's got some good stuff on it. It's in Germany, and the URL for it is www.german-views.de. But it's presented in English, which is nice. So one particular blog post caught my attention and avid interest, and I'm going to talk about that today. Now, this particular blog is titled The Third War Against Germany. It was posted last month in May. Let me say that when we understand what happened to Germany, we will understand what has happened to all of our Western nations. This is why you shouldn't think that I'm talking on this program so much about what does not concern you or is just history and has nothing much to do with what you're concerned about today. And not only is it just history, you might think, but it's someone else's history. But you need to realize that understanding what happened to Germany is the key to understanding how we are all being destroyed. I'm going to talk from what is in this blog, The Third War Against Germany, this morning. And I'm going to start out here in our first minutes by reading a short little intro to what is presented here. And it says, the crucial question to any Western conservative is why our nation seems to have completely lost their will to survive and flourish. You see, I think all of you listening probably would consider yourselves in one way or another a Western conservative. And and so that's why this is really addressed to all of us. The following text, first published by Judith in Vaterland, which is, I don't know what it is, it was in December of last year, highlights the methods with which one nation was made to lose this will. So this article is not on German self-pity or on accusing the Allied nations. Read what was done in Germany as a blueprint to be applied anywhere. Well, it's saying there what I already said to you, and this is really very true. Now, this is everything that's on here is translated from German into English by a German speaker. So some of the translation is a little odd, and I have to kind of adjust it as I go along. In some places, I probably do it after I've already said it. So that makes it really interesting. I just think it's great that these people who have done this. And the man who runs this website is Manfred Kleine Hartlage, and he's done this translation. Now, he says that in a book called The Psychology of Defeat by Thorsten Heinz, which is only in German, I looked it up, it calls what happened in Germany the Third War Against Germany, because, of course, it's still going on. At the time after 1945, he says, when after the bombs, the psychological warfare started, a war that hasn't stopped up till now. And then we have what we've got on this blog here is an essay or excerpts from an essay by Hans Joachim von Lessen, who has taken his information from these sources and has written his own essay, which Manfred says is very well worth reading. And it is about the institutions, the means, the methods, and the compliant assistants who were involved in this third war against Germany. Now, I'm going to wait to start going any further until we take our break. I want to tell you now that I will be taking calls at 1-800-313-9443. And I appreciate you if you keep your calls limited to what we're talking about in one way or another. All right, I hear the music coming, so when I come back, I will start in on reading these excerpts and discussing them.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093. 583-1093.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees. Just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Carolyn Yeager, and as I was saying in the segment just previous, I have come upon a very interesting material about the re-education program of Germany, which really applies to all of us, every Western nation today, and maybe some non-Western nations too, because this re-education is, it's an agenda to make people compliant without having to use force. Now, so I'm going to be reading some excerpts that have been translated from an essay by a man named von Liesen, it's only in German. So now I'm going to get started here. The first quote for the first part here is the re-education of the Germans as part of psychological warfare. I think that's the title of von Liesen's essay. That's it. And it's called The Third War Against Germany. Now, here's a quote, "We will extinguish the entire German tradition." Now, this is really, really, we need to consider these words. "We will extinguish the entire German tradition." All right, Leeson writes, after the war, Archibald MacLeish, then Deputy U.S. Secretary of State, who had founded in 1939 the Institution of the Psychological Warfare in the United in the USA, at the Potsdam Conference, defined the aim. I think this is saying that this Institute of Psychological Warfare, or else MacLeish, was at the Potsdam Conference, and he defined the aim of the reeducation as to change the character and the mentality of the German nation so that Germany finally could be permitted a life without supervision. All right. This required inevitably a treatment of the Germans comparable to that of a criminal in a modern prison. We will extinguish, we will extinguish the whole German tradition. It comes from what he said there. At the end of this process, a German, quote, self-reeducation, unquote, would have to stand. Or that is, at the end of the process, the Germans would be able to continue their re-education themselves. They would be, you know, this is a kind of mind, this is a kind of brainwashing that we're talking about. And this, excuse me, this is also detailed, he says, in a book, Character Washing, by a man named Mossberg. The book is called Reeducation. No, two books, Schrenk, Notzig, Character Washing, as well as Mossberg in a book called Reeducation, which is referred to often. All right, the next quote, general psychic inferiority of the German human. In the report of a conference on Germany after the war, worked out in the summer of 1944 by a joint committee on post-war planning at the Columbia University, New York City. And we know Columbia University, if you don't know, was the home of the Franklin School, which was which were all these German Jews, and some were not German, but most of them were German, that came, that left National Socialist Germany and came to the United States and formed, and they were so many of them were hired by Columbia University, some at other universities. And they are, they make up what has come to be called the Frankfurt School, because they came from Frankfurt, Germany. They were, that's where they were before. And they were very influential in changing, bringing about this new ideas, which were, would be called the anti-fascist, strongly anti-fascist, and New world thinking, and very like Freud, and so much of this new kind of looking at it was, well, it was known as critique. This refers actually to Professor McDonald's famous book, Culture of Critique, where he goes into this. The whole thing was to criticize everything about traditional white Christian society and beliefs and values, and bring about this, what we know of today as this new super liberalism. So this was going on, this was coming out from Columbia University in New York. And the timetable was found, to continue here, was found for the re-education of the Germans, which became then an official directive on the American post-war, should be, of the American post-war policy. And this is also found in Mossberg, Re-education. It was developed by scientists from the faculties of medicine, psychology, sociology, and so on. The Swiss psychoanalyst C.G. Jung, who belonged to the spiritual fathers, I don't know what he means by spiritual fathers, I'd like to know, had warned against making a difference between, quote, decent and indecent Germans, cited in Mossberg Reeducation. the Germans are, quote, collectively guilty, unquote. Now, this is Jung, who people think so highly of. He is actually, was actually saying, let's not make a distinction between good and bad Germans, because they're collectively guilty. They're all guilty. And he says the reason for this is a general psychic inferiority of the German human. In his view, that is in Jung's view, the Germans are degenerated. I did not know that Jung had said these things, or this was attributed to him. This comes as something of a little bit of a surprise to me. To continue, the only effective therapy was that the Germans were to be made to recognize their guilt and that they publicly confess being guilty over and over again. Now, we see this is what has been done. This is what the Germans have been doing for all these years, and they're still doing it. They're still continually accepting their guilt. They go before any group. You know, Angela Merkel, the most recent German chancellor, goes to Israel and totally goes along with everything that they say about German guilt and the Holocaust and the murders of all the pathetic Jews and so on. And she stands beside Barack Obama as he talks about things like this and looking very penitent and quiet, doesn't open her mouth. You know, there is no defense for Germany or Germans. And this makes so many of us sick, makes us sick to our stomach to watch this going on. But Germans themselves in Germany, and Germans outside of Germany too, have really been brainwashed. Yeah, their brains have, they have been re-educated. They do believe this. And so they also, while they don't want to be apologizing all the time, they do accept that Germany under Adolf Hitler is guilty, was guilty. Now, I'm talking about the Germans outside of Germany. A lot of them support groups like the one I was talking about yesterday, the Sudeten German organization, and all of these German organizations that seek recognition for what actually happened and want it to be put into the history of what happened to them. They support that, but since they won't support the Third Reich, and they agree to the guilt that is heaped on the Third Reich, then they don't get anywhere, in my opinion. But this is extreme, and yet I'm finding that while it seems shockingly extreme to me, it is not unusual, and it's practiced on many people everywhere. And in fact, it is now being a little more subtly, but it is being carried out on the white race and, say, Americans. Well, and then Canadians. Well, whatever group you want to talk about, but I'll just talk about Americans right now. Into what we are being made to feel, white Americans to feel guilty about all kinds of crimes that we have committed, supposedly against colored people. I think this is just beginning. So this really affects us. We need to pay attention to this. And I'm going to be talking about this for a while because there's lots of material to go into. And I'm pretty happy about finding this because for a long time I have had I really wanted to understand about denazification in Germany and just what they did and how that process worked and why it worked and how they can do such a thing. Well, now I'm really going to be getting into it. Well, I hear my music, but it's so quiet. I don't know why it just keeps playing in the background. It seems like it's time for a break, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know.
There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. There's something not quite adjusted right with my music, is why going into the break music, it's much too low, and I think my whole music system needs to be redone, because it just keeps happening, even though individual board operators make it a little bit louder. But if I don't mention that, it works like this. So I don't really hear it. It sounds like I'm not sure if I'm hearing music or not. All right, but the next section that I'm going to discuss here under the overall heading of the Third War Against Germany is the Stuttgart Guilt Confession of the Protestant Church of Germany. Now, quoting from Leeson, one of the first steps to this aim was the Stuttgart Confession of the Protestant Church of Germany, known as EKD. The leaders of the German Protestant Church, which belong predominantly to the Confessing Church, which is in German the Bekennende Kirche, and this was a group of anti-Nazi theologians. What happened after Adolf Hitler came to power was that the National Socialists, some of them, who were very interested in religion or didn't like religion as it was, were organizing the Christian Protestant churches into more of a state Christian church. Or there were a lot of the, I think that came a little bit later, but the Protestant churches were that were supportive of Hitler, there were a lot of those, but then there was a group that weren't, and they broke away and called themselves a Confessing Church, and they caused a lot of problems because some of them were even traitors, and they worked against the ruling regime, which was the National Socialist. So they tried to join the World Council of Churches, and that was being built up at that time. And I think a lot of you may have some knowledge of the World Council of Churches and may not have the best opinion of it, which I don't, but it's not one of the things I put my attention on. So we go on here. The condition was that to be a part of the confessing church and to join the World Council of Churches was to confess German guilt publicly. The Secretary General of the World Council of Churches was the Dutchman Wissert Hooft, who had belonged during the war to the British Secret Service. Well, I guess what this is actually saying here is that after the war, those Protestant church people who had belonged to the confessing church and were anti-Nazi, they tried to join the World Council of Churches after the war. And that was when it was being built up. And the condition for them to join, since they were Germans, was that they had to confess German guilt publicly. All right, now I've got that. The Secretary General was a Dutchman who had belonged during the war to the British Secret Service. We find these kind of connections all the time. Now, on the 18th and 19th of October, 1945, of course, the German unconditional surrender or capitulation occurred in May, so now we're in October of that year. The leaders of the German Protestants, from Bishop Lilje and Pastor Martin Niemöller, and you know who Niemöller is, we might talk about him a little bit later, from those two to Gustav Heinemann, well, they all declared, these were leaders of the German Protestants, they all declared the desired confession, not only for the Protestant church, but for the German people as a whole. So these Protestant leaders stood up and confessed to total German guilt and for Germany altogether. They spoke for the whole nation. They even spoke for the Catholics. He says also for the Catholics and those for without denomination, for so everyone in detail. There's some references here to some German sources, which we won't go into. Okay, those were the church people. Now we go on to press, radio, and film. Now, Leeson writes, over and over again, you are confronted with the re-educator's assumption that the collective guilt of the Germans had its cause in their biological disposition. It's biologically disposed in them, you see. It's a biological thing. This is what the so-called racists speak about. You know, I mean, this is what people accuse conservatives of being racist, because they say that differences between people are biological. But it's okay to say that about the Germans, see? It's always a double standard. Now, going on, this was to be imprinted on their memory until they are persuaded of it themselves. That is, they had to do some deep, some real strong conditioning of their minds, of Germans' minds, in order to overcome this biological disposition. Now, the instruments for this were the media, and at that time, above all, it was press, radio, and film. At that time, it wasn't television, but now we have television, which is overwhelms all the other those other three. First of all, the media available in Germany had to be removed. They were forbidden. All German media was shut down, and it was forbidden for any Germans to put out any kind of information via any of these, via press, radio, or film. The next step was to remove all men and women from public life. All right, now I hear my music a little bit better. And when we come back, we will have a longer segment, and I think I'll be able to complete this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Jaeger, and I am reading from a German essay that has been translated into English by A. von Liesen on the Third War Against Germany, or the re-education process that took place in Germany. And I want to remind you again that this has everything to do with our world today and with our society, our culture, and what is being done to us today, although maybe not quite as openly. Well, certainly not as openly, but it's not that hard to see. So I said that all the media in Germany was shut down after the Allied victory. And the next step was to remove all men and women from public life who could have be opposed to re-education, which means that anyone who they thought might have some Nazi sympathies and would not willingly go along with what they were doing. So this was between 314,000 and 454,000 persons. And the difference is because the literature differs on the number of them. Disappeared into internment camps for up to 3 years without a basis in international law and without accusation. They just disappeared. And these were people all the way from the BMD leaders. That was the League of German Girls, a Hitler organization of, Hitler supporters amongst the young girls, similar to the Hitler Youth that the boys were in. And, I personally know someone whose sister was a BMD leader, and she had to go and hide after the war, and she was never put into a camp, but she successfully hid out and went all the way from local group leaders of the National Socialist Party and up to high ministry officials and to authors and diplomats. You wouldn't believe the kind of people that were in these camps. High officials. Well, you would believe it because, of course, the highest officials they put on trial and hung them. So, being put in a camp was an and being let out eventually was not a bad, too bad of a thing, comparatively. Now, the staff of the, and you know, we can certainly imagine, well, there's lots of talk, and we can certainly imagine that the time can come when those of us who speak out, people, we're talking about it all the time, also disappear into camps in this country because they don't want, they have decided to go all out, and now we can't have anybody around who's going to start anything, you know, who's not going to cooperate. Now, the staff of the radio companies was dismissed. The leading journalists and publishers were imprisoned in internment camps. The German media was first replaced by radio stations of the Allied military governments when they had to, what they had to publish was delivered by the occupying powers and their news agencies. In the U.S. zone, the DANA, later DENA, in the British under the direction of Sefton Delmer, well, he's a well-known character, a leading man of the PSW, the German news service, which was GNS. So they created their own news and media services in Germany under the Americans and British. Newspapers and radio stations in German language were forbidden to publish anything but what these agencies provided. So they had these news agencies, the DENA and the GNS, which were like our AP or something like that, and they provided the news. These were run by the Allies, and nothing that they did not provide could be published. No, I'm sure that would have been considered a crime. They had criminal penalties for that. After some time, one loosened the personnel policy and also hired. Personnel policy was loosened, and they hired journalists who were not immigrants, who were not non-Germans, but they were neutralized in the Third Reich for political reasons. I'm a little confused about that. After 1 to 2 years, the first editors trained by the occupying powers started working. That is, after 1 to 2 years, the first Germans, I would say, who had been trained by the by the Americans and British started working. So they had some German editors and German media people. And an impressive, he puts in parentheses, an impressive picture is delivered by the German first-hour journalists Richard Tungel and Hans Rudolf Berndorf in their book Auf dem Bauche, doesn't have the translated name. It appeared in 1958. Anyway, that would be an interesting book to read. The campaign in the U.S. zone was headed by Leon Edel, later Eugene Jolas. So the head of the press officers was the intelligence officer Alfred Rosenberg. Well, I don't get that. I will go on. See if maybe somebody gets that, and I'll go back to that later. Now, strict supervision. The German journalists worked under strict American or British control. Well, naturally, because they still are. They had to implement the strategy of psychological warfare. So these were people who had been convinced that what the Americans and British were trying to do to the Germans was a good idea. They were cooperators, and they said, okay, we're now the new German journalists, and we, as long as we go along with what you want. So the crucial purpose was that the Germans confessed their collective guilt. That was the whole thing of psychological warfare. This is what they had to remember. This was the main aim the purpose, meaning that they had to keep them doing that. They couldn't let them get out from under, ever stop confessing their guilt, because this is the whole thing. And they are persuaded of their inferiority. So they had to confess their, Germans have to continue to confess their guilt and continue to be persuaded of their inferiority. This is the part that really gets me. I don't understand how any German could do that. I don't believe this has been successful. It might appear to be successful, but it's not really. You can't do this. You cannot persuade people of their inferiority over a period of time or a long enough period of time. It just doesn't happen because nobody is built that way. Nobody. I don't care what racial group or what ethnic group you're in. You're not going to go along with that. Really inside yourself. So this is backed up again in these books. And every journalist had to be a re-educator. So that's what they were. They weren't actually informing the people or giving news or, you know, bringing about information. They were re-educating. It was all about re-education. And I would say we have a lot of that going on in our media today, in press, radio, television, mostly television, movies, film, the books that are published. It's all about re-educating us because you see a certain type of approach and attitude that is politically correct. We can go into political correctness on some other shows because I found some very good information that I've never seen before on that. So the next heading, the German character is washed. In the long run, one couldn't feed the Germans only with newspapers and radio programs of the Allied military authorities. Thus, one searched for Germans who seemed suitable to run the newly founded newspapers. About that, Caspar von Schrenk Notzig reported already in 1965 in his basic work, Charakterwäsche, which appeared again and again in new editions and recently in a revised version. The new German newspaper and magazine publisher should represent, quote, the other Germany, unquote. That is, be people who differed from the present Germans clearly. Competence was secondary compared with character. The character must be that you don't really have a German character, I would say. The victorious powers assumed that most Germans had a wrong character because they had been shaped by their authoritarian families. What kind of men had to belong to the new elite? Well, the kind of men that had to belong to the new elite had been worked out by a professional group of scientists under the direction of Max Horkheimer. Now, Max Horkheimer is a member of the Franklin School. We will meet him again as one of the mentors of the 68th Revolt. And under his direction, and this new professional group of scientists had been presented in a five-volume, or this message, this elite had been presented in a five-volume work, Studies in Prejudice. Among those authors were, and here are all these Franklin School people, Theodore W. Adorno, Elsa Frankel Brunswick, Daniel J. Levinson, R. Nevitt Stanford. They wanted to uncover and to exterminate the prejudices from which the Germans allegedly suffered. Literally, quote, extermination means re-education, which is academically planned, unquote. Think about that. Academically planned re-education, the aim of that is actual extermination, because you are exterminating the real people and putting in their place some kind of robots, I guess, or some remade people. So you're actually exterminating what the Germans were and trying to make a new kind of German that won't be what he used to be. Now, with it, while they're doing this big re-education project, potentially fascistic individuals would be uncovered. That was another thing. They would be looking for these potentially fascistic individuals and get rid of them one way or another. Thus, one search for people in whose personality the values typical in Germany, like, quote, externally correct behavior, diligence, ability, physical cleanliness, health, and uncritical behavior, unquote, did not exist, because these qualities hide, supposedly, another quote, a deep weakness of their own ego, or a deep weakness of the ego, unquote. He says, no, this is not a translation mistake. The Allies considered just such men qualified for leadership of German media who did not have these qualities. He's saying if they were not did not have externally correct behavior. You know, if they weren't concerned about how they appeared and how they behaved toward others, if they weren't diligent, if they didn't have any ability, if they weren't clean, physically clean, if they weren't healthy, if they didn't have these qualities, then they were proper leaders for the new Germany, because they didn't want these same kind of Germans leading Germany. Now, the considered persons were asked, among other things, how their relation to father and mother was. This is an important one that was in this. This is why these next generation of Germans turned against their parents, because they had been taught from early on in school and from every other source that was allowed to be around in the society how awful their parents were, because they were part of this generation. Whether they participated in anything or not, this whole generation of Germans was condemned, as we're seeing here. And it really was. And no matter what they might want to say today, or what you might read here or there by someone trying to modify this, this is not the way it was. And that's why they had children, just like in the Soviet Union, in Germany, then turning on their parents, snitching to their teachers, telling stories about what they were saying at home. You know, awful, awful stuff. Now, they said, when they asked these all, they, everybody was asked, you know, particularly the people that were suspected of fascist tendencies or were over authoritarian. They were asked how their relation to father and mother was, and they preferred men who had a broken relation to their parents and were not formed by an authoritarian German family. That is, they didn't have all this respect for their family and speak well of their family. They wanted people who did not relate well to their parents or family, and who would where they had a poor relationship. And they went forward with good conscience, as they regarded the Germans as ill. I mean, I guess a lot of them were convinced of this. They were convinced, these perpetrators, that the Germans really were a sick race and had to be changed. So they went about this without any, you know, feeling bad about what they were doing, because they saw the Germans as patients who had to be cured of their paranoia. The new newspaper publishers and editors in chief were submitted to suitable tests, and if they turned out to have these broken characters, they were shortlisted. Meaning, what he means is they were put on the short list of being approved. You know, they were the ones who got hired. So to speak, as a reward, they received the license for a newspaper or magazine, of course, still supervised by the press officers. So, you know, they became the new owners, the new editors of the news magazines, newspapers. Even so, though, they didn't have the freedom to do as they wished. They were supervised by the Allies. And the new newspaper publishers avoided offending against the given rules, of course. Otherwise, they would have lost the license or lost their job. And of course, jobs were not easy to get. Times were tough. And so when you also institute that, where it's very, very, very competitive, then there are a lot of people who will go along in order to do all right. And they can justify that in their own minds. So he says that most worked as they were requested to work, and even real beliefs played a role. They came to believe it themselves. Yeah, there's no doubt. A lot of them were convinced, or they convinced themselves. It's always better to be convinced about something that you're going to do, if you're going to do it, than to doubt and have this conscience bothering you. So it's easy. It's, you know, part of that can be, well, I'm willing to be convinced, and I'm willing to believe in this. So, as he says here, most people preferred to be on the winning side. So, you know, there was a mass exodus in Germany after the war to the winning side. There was a mass exodus back into the Social Democratic Party of people who were in the National Socialist Party, or who would have been in the National Socialist Party. They all became Social Democrats because that was politically okay. And this is just what happens. There's only a few people that will stay and fight for what they are, what they believe, and while they're being persecuted for it. Well, all right, we have come close to the end of the show already, and I still have a lot to go on this. Well, we can continue on with this tomorrow. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll finish up the program.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. Submarine Service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
All right, welcome back to our last segment. And, you know, I just have a little bit to go, so I can finish this reading this today. And then there are a lot of comments following these this blog, more than on any other of their blogs that I've noticed. And so, our blog post. And so, I might discuss those tomorrow. There'll be more to discuss about this tomorrow. But let me finish this by continuing. It goes without saying that the trials against the German ruling class and against supposed and real war criminals played a major part in the re-education. The trial in the International Military Court of Law in Nuremberg against the leaders of the Reich, as well as the next ones of the American military justice, were reported by the newspapers of the Allied military governments. They had to make clear the collective guilt to the German population in all details, and at the same time to justify the Allied war crimes, as, for example, the aerial war against the civilian population. Now, the last excerpt here is headed, "Every journalist has to be a re-educator." All these measures were in harmony with the main demand of psychological warfare, to separate the enemy people from its leaders. This was already an aim of the Allies in the First World War when the Kaiser was allegorized as a monster dripping with blood. All newspapers, as well as the broadcasting company, were subject to the principle that every journalist had to be a re-educator. If he did not obey this, he ran the risk to lose his job. This explained not least the line, loyalty of publishers and editors. Well, I'm not sure what it means by the line loyalty. I can't quite rearrange that. When in 1949 the Federal Republic of Germany was founded, 1949, remember, that's when Germany became supposedly a sovereign nation again, but of course it never was because it has never, there has never been a peace treaty, and it does not have a constitution that has been approved by the people. So the licensing of the press by the military government came to an end at that time, though. But in the years from 45 to 49, one had educated a younger generation which had passed through the school of the re-educators supervised by the military government. And so that is that now the Germans themselves could continue on running their media, and they had re-educated themselves, so they would not go against how the Allies wanted it to be. And you know, if any did, and some do, they're just demonized, and they are put off to the side, and they're given a hard time. And not quite as much today. They're forcing their way through, but still, it's very, very difficult. So as long as the majority of the people don't go along with it, they're not too troubled with it. But this explains why today the German journalists, though free in their judgment on single subjects, have to agree with some basic statements. For example, the German collective guilt and Germany's exclusive responsibility for the Second World War. So that's where it stands, ladies and gentlemen, 60 years after the end of the war, 65 years, and it's all due to the way we are educated. That's where these beliefs really come from. They don't come from our good reasoning thinking. All right, thank you for listening today. I will be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Join me then.
The next round.